is a blessing to be together again this morning. I've titled my message this morning, Rest. For those that haven't been here, we've been going through some passwords as reminders of things in Scripture that we can turn to give us strength, to give us direction how to walk. And there's a few of you that have noticed the word rest and have asked me if it's okay this morning if we rest while I preach. No, it is not okay this morning. Rest. I had to think about, as I looked at rest, I had to think about my own personal life in rest as we understand rest today. I had to think about sleeping. Whether we rest during sleep or we just sleep and we wake up tired. Not getting the real rest. That's not what we're going this morning. That just kind of went through my mind. I'd like for you this morning to turn to Hebrews chapter 3 and just stay there. I'm going to go back to Judges and I'm going to talk for a bit about Gideon and what he was facing. And then we'll go to Hebrews 3 and 4 and look at the word rest. So as we're looking at Gideon in Judges 6 and 7, we ended with Gideon obeying God and he worshiped. That was what he did when he found out who he had met. The angel that he had met was from God. And then he built an altar and worshiped. Now we go on and Gideon is told to put together an army to go fight against the Midianites. Gideon again put out a question to God. Is it really you that's speaking to me? Gideon wanted to make sure that he wasn't going down a wrong path of deception. He wanted to make sure. I've often looked at Gideon as doubtful. But as I kept studying Gideon, I'm not seeing doubt here. But I'm sensing Gideon wanted to make sure that the direction he was headed is a good direction. In verse 33 through 35 in Judges 6, Gideon calls together his army. And as we move down to verse 36 through 40, he does these tests that we know about. He puts out the wool and he asks God, he said, make the wool wet and the ground dry. If it's you, if really it's what I'm supposed to do. We know the story. Most of us, the wool got really wet enough that he could wring it out and get a bowl full out of it. And then he said, okay, I'd like to do it one more time, God. Would you make the ground wet and the wool dry? And we know that also happened. And so Gideon realized that it was God. And again, God tells him, get your army together. It's time to move out. Gideon gets 32,000 men together and they head out. Get ready to head out to fight. Gideon says, or God tells Gideon, you've got too many. And I don't see Gideon questioning God. Wait a minute. The army that I'm going to go fight is huge. And you want me to cut back on my men? And God said, yes, I want you to tell your men, if you're scared, if there's any fear, go home. So he told his men, if there's any fear, I want you to go home. Who knows how many went home? 22,000 went home. That left him with how many? 10,000. So Gideon had 10,000 men. 22,000 went home. He had 10,000 men left. Again, God says, Gideon, no. Too many. I don't want you to think you've done it. I want to do it. Go down to the water and have them drink. They drank. And he said, those that put their heads down into the water that drank that way, they couldn't, here's my idea of it, they couldn't see around. They weren't aware of what was going on. Send them home. Those that cupped and lapped water, use them. How many were left? 300. 32,000 down to 300. And then God tells Gideon, if you're still a little bit scared, I want you to at night go down. He had his army, the 300 that were with him. I want you to go down into the camp and listen. So Gideon must have been just a bit scared. He took his servant with him. He went down into the camp and he listened. And there was a man that was telling a dream. And at the end of the dream, he said, Gideon's army is going to win. Gideon went back. What did he do next? He worshiped. Before they went to fight, he worshiped. We've already talked about worship. Worship is so, so important. We could go back to that this morning, maybe just talk about that for a bit. But worship is so, so important. Gideon went back and he worshiped. And he went back, he told his men, he said, as we go in, when I give you the signal, take those, not machine guns, take the covers off of the lamps, hold your lamps up, and shout. What did he shout? You're saying it, Howard, I think. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. And they went in, did nothing. But trust. Those in there fought amongst themselves. Yes, they did chase them then. What is the picture that I want you to see with Gideon taking his men down in there? They uncover their lamps and they go in and they shout. What is the picture I want us to see there? Rest. Rest. And Gideon could rest in God because he believed in God. Is there a possibility that some of the times that I don't rest in God is because I really don't believe in the God who wants to bring deliverance into my life? I'm afraid so. I want to do it on my own. Gideon was diligent in discerning what was the will of God. It is better to seek the heart of God and will of God. I'm sorry. It is better to seek the heart and will of God in our decisions than to mend an action that turned out bad because of lack of discernment. Let me read that again. It is better to seek the heart of God. I read it wrong again. It is better to seek the heart and will of God in our decisions than to mend an action that turned out bad because a lack of discernment. Did you follow through that? Should I read it again? Let's do this again. It is better to seek the heart and will of God in our decisions than to mend an action that turned out bad because of lack of discernment. Discernment is important. It is so important. If we need to go talk to a brother, if we have a question, if we have a decision to make, we seek the will of God and we seek it through brotherhood. Gideon worshiped. We talked about that. And then he acted upon God's will. Gideon rested in faith in what God told him. Actually, in Hebrews 11:32, it says, "And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson, Jephthah, and David also, and Samuel of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms." We're going to talk about faith for a bit again this morning. God's anger. Actually, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to Hebrews 3. I'm going to need some water again this morning, if somebody would please. I'm going to go through Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. I don't very often read two chapters in a row like this, but we're going to read them and we're going to talk about them as we go this morning. But thinking about rest, we look in chapter 3, rest is mentioned two times. We look in chapter 4, I believe there's nine times. And these words rest don't all quite mean the same thing. All of them come from the same root word with the exception of one. And we'll point that one out when we get to it. The House of Christ, chapter 3. "Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." Think carefully about Jesus, "who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he who hath builded the house hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses verily was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ as a son over his own house." So we have a picture here of how Christ obeyed, where he fit into the obedience structure to his father. "But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are," and now he brings us into the picture, If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. He puts an if in there. For us to stay confident and hope, the hope that we have remains firm unto the end. Verse 7, wherefore, and then he puts some in parentheses. We're going to read the parentheses before we go on to verse 12. The parentheses begins at 7, goes through the end of verse 11. And it's a warning to us. It was a warning to them, but it's a warning to us. Wherefore, parentheses, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation or in the rebellion of the children of Israel, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation. The word grieved here has the idea of I was angry. A righteous anger. I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart. And they have not known my ways. It seems like he had tried all kinds of things to bring them back to repentance. And it seemed like they came back and then they fall away again, but they never could stay steady. They always continued to fall away. And finally he said, you know, I think I just had enough. Thank you, Danny. Verse 11, so I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. The word rest here gives us a picture of entering into Canaan, yes, but it's a picture of repose, of rest, of having finished. He said, those that have sinned will not enter into the rest that I have promised them. Now let's go back to verse 7. Wherefore? Because we know who Christ Jesus is, and because we are his house, and we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Wherefore, verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. This is a warning. Be careful that you discern his will. Be careful that you walk faithfully with him. Be careful that you don't have an evil heart of unbelief that causes you to depart from the living God. But verse 13, he says, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. This verse is a difficult verse because if I'm going to exhort somebody, that means if I see somebody that is walking in a way that is against Scripture, I need to go talk to that person. And it also means that if I'm walking against Scripture, that person needs to come talk to me. We are here as a group. We are here to help each other. We are believers that are looking at the same goal. We want to end up at the same place. Am I willing to have my brother, my sister come talk to me and say, you know what, this is a place that you are walking against the Word of God. Am I willing to go talk to my brother or my sister about this? For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, as in the rebellion. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned? Whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest? But to them that believed not. So we see they could not enter in because of unbelief. So the children of Israel here could not enter because there was unbelief. We're going to talk about that in just a bit here. Something I'm going to throw out here. Something for you to do some research on. How old, and I don't want an answer this morning, you can maybe talk to me when you go out, if you figure it out. Maybe it's something for you to do at home, but how old could the oldest person have been, not including Joshua and Caleb? How old could the oldest person have been that entered into Canaan? You think about that. Kind of an interesting thing to look at. Let's go to chapter 4. Now he brings this to them personally and to us personally. He tells us what happened with the children of Israel in chapter 3. They could not enter the rest that he had promised them because they sinned. Now he comes to chapter 4 and he speaks to us. Let us, therefore, us, that gets a little more personal, doesn't it? Let myself, therefore, fear, lest a promise of being left us, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. If we ponder that on our own, and we begin to look at this, is there anything that would keep me from entering into the rest? Now we're looking at the word rest here as salvation. The rest he's giving us a picture of here, and by the way, something I didn't share, but as I began to study this, there are very, very many, a lot of different ideas what this rest is. So what I share this morning is how I understand it. I don't want to create any disagreements here. That's not my goal. But I see this goal, as he's talking here about rest, as our salvation on this side of eternity. And there's a couple of different ones that we'll reach into the other side. We'll talk about them. Let us therefore fear. What is this fear? I think this fear is a reverence, but yet it's also, can I say, a trembling within? Because we want to know where we are with Christ. We want to know that that rest is for us. Let us therefore fear lest a promise of being left us, of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. Listen to verse 2 here. But the word preached did not profit them. Why? It was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. It was not mixed with faith. There was no faith. For we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. That word there, if they, is they shall not, is what he had said, enter into my rest. Because he swore they would not enter into the rest. But he says, there are those of us who have believed do enter into the rest that he has promised for us. Verse 4. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. And in this place again, if they shall enter into my rest. So two times he talked about the rest that they were entering into. Now let's go to verse 6. It says, seeing therefore it remaineth that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. So when he's talking here about therefore it remaineth, they weren't able to enter the rest, but yet he has promised a rest for us in the future and now. Those that it was first preached who did not enter because of unbelief. Verse 7, again, he limiteth a certain day. And the word limiteth here is he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, that was in Psalm, after so long a time as it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. So he's bringing it down to us today. And he's telling us, today is the day that you can have that rest. Today is the day that you can have that salvation. He's bringing that to all of us, that we can have that salvation today. For if Jesus, verse 8, which is Joshua, Jesus and Joshua were used in different ways here, but this should be Joshua. For if Joshua had not given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? So if Joshua would have been able to take them in, if God had said, you take them in, they would have found rest. Then verse 9, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And this is the only place that the word rest is used in a different term. This is the rest, considering it to be a Sabbath rest. This is talking about heaven. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. There is a rest waiting for us throughout all of eternity. That is the rest that he's directing us to. But he says there's a rest that you have on this side. If you don't have the rest on this side, you will not receive the rest on the other side. The rest on this side is salvation. Verse 10. For he that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. And this is a verse that brings up a lot of questions. He that entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works. So let me see if I can spell this out a little bit as what I see this. But he that entered into his rest, that is me entering into rest, the salvation that God has given me. How did I get that salvation? Somebody tell me, how do I receive that salvation? Are we resting too much this morning? How do we receive salvation? Okay. Very good. The blood that was shed for us. There's another way we'll come back to in a little, not another way, but more that adds to that for us today. But his blood was shed to us. If we don't believe that, there is no possible way. Without faith, remember we talked about that verse before? Without faith, it is impossible. Actually, I'm in the wrong verse. Sorry. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. For by grace are you saved through faith. So first of all, it's by grace we're saved through faith. That not of ourselves, it is a gift. And this is what I'm getting to. It is a gift. We all know that so well. The salvation that you and I have received is a gift. For he that has entered into his rest, into this salvation, he hath also ceased from his own works as God did from his. God rested. We see that in Genesis 2, I think verse 2. God rested after the creation was finished. He says he rested. So now Jesus comes. He offers us eternal life. We receive it by grace through faith. It's his gift. Now I cease from my own works. Wait a minute. It sounds like I'm preaching a gospel that there is no works in. That's not what we're saying this morning. But it is so clear in Ephesians 2:8, which has been mentioned across this pulpit many, many times. I cannot receive salvation by working for it. I can try as hard as I want to try. And can I gently say, with our background, that's pretty big, isn't it? That we have to work for our salvation. None of us here, including myself, are good enough to be able to attain salvation by working for it. It ain't going to happen. We're going to come to the judgment. And if he asks, why are you here? Because I did this and this and this. Sorry, I never knew you. We're not going to make it. Our works are not going to do it. Because I belong to a Mennonite family, because I belong to an Anabaptist group, because Daddy raised me to hang on to his coattails, will not bring me salvation. I use our denomination. You can use any denomination you want. It will not bring salvation. As hard as we try, it's not going to bring it. He that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works as God did from his. Now we get to verse 11 and it seems like, wait a minute. You just says I don't work. Verse 11 says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. What about that? He says, let us labor. How do we explain that labor? There's another verse. Let's see if I can find it here. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, I'm sorry, Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Wait a minute, those look like I'm supposed to work for it, don't they? So let's go back to the one about laboring. The word laboring has the idea of being diligent. Maybe it has the idea of coming back to chapter 3, where he says, I'm to exhort another. Maybe there's a diligence in that. But it has the idea of being diligent in our Christian walk, because we have already received salvation. Now we are diligent. Now the works that come out of our life are not because I'm gaining brownie points with God, but it's because I am heeding Him, I'm loving Him, and out of that, I now work the good works for Him. How about the verse I just mentioned? Work out your own salvation. So what if I put in the word, I took out the word work out, and I put in the word work for? Would that make a difference? That would make a difference, because it would say work for your own salvation with fear and trembling. Instead, it says work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. How many of you remember a gentleman that used to stand over here? He's gone now. He used to stand over here in one of these front two or three benches. And as we sang, he had a white flag that he was waving. Some of you remember that? Brother Wickie, who is now gone. What was he signifying with the white flag? Surrender. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Can I tell you this morning that unless we come and we surrender to God in our everyday walk, we give Him everything of us? Unless we're willing to wave that white flag to Him, He doesn't know us. I want to share this carefully too. It's easy for me to look at somebody, and it's easy for you to do the same thing. We look at somebody and we judge them because of what we see. Let me tell you a little bit how I understand this to work. When Jesus comes in, He begins inside. And as He begins to clean us up inside, see, if I try to clean myself up, I'm going to fail. But as Jesus begins to clean me up inside, there are some things going to come out that aren't pretty. If one of my habits has been swearing, cursing, and I'm a believer, do you think some of that may happen from time to time as I grow? Because Jesus is cleaning me up on the inside. And occasionally, there's a little bit of dirt that keeps coming through because He's cleansing me. There are different sins that we walk in before we were born again. Now, I'm not dissing the fact that God can cleanse somebody instantly and we're a brand new man, because we are. We have a brand new heart, He says. But we're human. We're still in this flesh. So some of the things that I have dealt with over time, as He continues to wash me and clean me, a little bit of that comes out from time to time. And friends, it is so, so important that you and I, as believers that have been walking the Christian road for a long time, do not take that brother and begin to point fingers and say, listen, I heard you curse, I heard you swear. Yes, we need to remind them, but they need grace. Let me ask you this. When you came to know Jesus, did you experience His grace? One of my things was music. I love music. One of the things that I really, really struggled with was listening to things that are positive in my music. I still struggle with it today. Am I judging you if you listen to that music? No, that's not for me to do. But God spoke into my heart. The Holy Spirit spoke to me and says, that is not for you, Lynn. You don't listen to that. So if you hear music coming out of my vehicle sometime, that's not good. Is God still maybe cleansing me? See, I'm not making way this morning for sin. That's not what I'm doing. I want you to know that's not what's happening here. But we have entered into his rest, and as we walk in that rest, he begins to continue to clean us up, and as we get cleaned, somewhere that stuff has to go to. Am I making sense this morning? Do I have you totally lost? Some of you are smiling and nodding. No, I am not in one tiny little bit even opening the door for sin. But I am talking about grace, God's grace, and the grace that I need to give those around me. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He wants to do the work within us. He wants to do the cleaning up. Because I'm going to mess it up. Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. He says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and lean on me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. And you shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light." I remember Dana talking about this yoke. Where Jesus is in one side of the yoke, we go into the other side and we walk together. And he teaches us. I want to come back to verse 2 in chapter 4. We actually never finished reading, did we? Let's go back to verse 2 in chapter 4. "For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it." I want to talk for just a bit about this faith. "For without faith, it is impossible to please him." We used that verse, I think, in my last three messages. I'm not sure if I'm done yet. "Without faith, it is impossible to please him." We cannot please him unless we have faith. What is faith? Faith is believing. And when I believe, I act on it. If I truly believe something, I'm going to act on it. Gideon moved out in faith. That's why he's in the faith chapter. He knew God directed him. He believed it and he stepped out. What am I doing in my life? Am I stepping out in faith? Is that faith strong enough, or is it real enough, I should ask, that I'm willing to step out? There's what I'm looking for. I'm sorry. I'm kind of paging through here my notes, and there's something I could not find. Faith. We must believe that he exists. Are my actions showing or proving that I believe in his presence in my life? If I ask somebody else that's around me a lot, can they tell that my actions are showing or proving that I believe his presence in my life, in his presence in my life? It also says in that verse, "Without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is," that's the existing part, "and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Do I believe that there's going to be a reward at the end? Yes, there is. There are rewards in life today, but there is a reward coming. Gideon believed that God was working a plan, that he would be rewarded with victory. That's how he could move out. He had faith. I'd like to bring this to a close. I kind of got a little scattered here for a bit. Thinking about resting. Resting in the fact that Jesus has paid the price. We just celebrated communion. Jesus coming and giving his life that each one of us could have life. Jesus paid the price and he gave us freely everything that we need for life and godliness today. There's none of us here, not a single one of us as we leave these doors today, that has the excuse he hasn't quite done it all. He has given us everything. Everything. So it's our duty to believe this by faith. And to believe that there's going to be a reward for all of us. But that reward is going to be according to whether we have faith or not, what the reward is. That's a serious thought. There were many, many this week that went to their eternal reward. There are those that went to their eternal reward and they're rejoicing the rest of eternity. There are those that didn't. By ourselves, we're going to fail. But if we trust Him, we rest in the fact that He has already won, and that's where He's working from. You and I can be on that team. That gets me excited. Because in life here, we have battles. We have spiritual battles that go on, and we can't fight them on our own. We get dressed for it, but yet He does the fighting. There's an eternal rest waiting for those who rest not in their own strength, but who wholly rely in His strength. Surrender. So I want to ask the question this morning. Have I surrendered everything to Him? Have I surrendered my life, my family, my husband or wife? Everything. There's not a thing that we should be holding on to. But I have rights. Have I surrendered those rights to Him today? Everything. He says, I want it all. And let's think about the trade-off. He wants it all because He wants to give us all. Doesn't look so bad that way, does it? But if I retain something and I say, no, God, this one I'm not giving to You, we're not going to have rest. We want that rest, don't we? Would you stand with me this morning? Thank you for bearing with me in my scatteredness for a bit here. But a question to ask us this week as we go throughout our week. Am I resting in the fact that He says, I'm going to have an eternal rest sometime? Am I resting in that? That He has done it all and that I have surrendered completely. Let's pray. God, we thank You this morning again for giving us eternal life. We thank You, Lord, that You were willing to come to the cross. We thank You, Father, that we have a rest that is promised to us throughout all of eternity. And Lord, I pray that You'd help us to rest in You today because of the salvation, the rest that You give us. Help us to be willing, Lord, to hear from our brothers and sisters and to be able to share with them. Lord, give us a faith that moves mountains, knowing that You exist and that You have a reward for each one of us. Oh, Lord, help us to sense Your direction. And Lord, those areas where it's just hard to let go, I pray that You would come in and that You would clean us up, that we could walk faithfully. Our lights could shine for You. We bless You this morning. We thank You so much for this group here. I pray Your blessing on each one. Guide us this week. We bless You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.